Praise be Jesus and Mary. In today's gospel passage from Matthew chapter 11, we heard our Lord Jesus give praise to his Heavenly Father for keeping hidden the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven from the wise and the prudent and revealing them to little ones only. It is only to the humble of heart. Salvation, eternal life, heaven, sanctification are not accessible to anyone except the humble. You know, for this reason, Jesus teaches us in today's gospel passage, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." We could very well summarize our Lord's whole teaching in the gospels. If there was one virtue, just one virtue, that our Lord Jesus would have his followers learn and put into practice, it would surely be humility. The whole life of Christ was one continuous lesson on humility. To begin with, the humiliation of the incarnation itself, that the infinite and eternal and almighty God would enter into our human history as a lowly, humble baby. And then consider the way he was born at Bethlehem in that poor, lowly, humble surroundings, the cave in Bethlehem, fit only for animals. And next, the humble, hidden life of Jesus during all those years in the poor, insignificant town of Nazareth, and being known eventually as the son of a carpenter, and being himself a humble carpenter. And then we have the humble tenor of Jesus' preaching and public ministry, always preferring to be in the company of the lowly, the humble, the poor, and presenting himself as one who has come not to be served, but to serve, to be humble. And finally, the humiliation of Jesus' passion and death, being executed on the cross as a common criminal. As St. Vincent de Paul rightly observes, what was the life of Christ but a perpetual humiliation? From the beginning to the end of his life, Jesus seems to repeat the words we heard in today's gospel passage, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." Why this great emphasis on humility? Is it really that important, so essential? Yes, absolutely. You see, pride is the worst of sins. It's the greatest obstacle to our salvation and sanctification. It's the greatest obstacle to our lasting peace, joy, happiness. We can confidently assure that every single sin, in some way, at least indirectly, bears the mark of pride. For isn't every sin, no matter what kind of sin it is, some form of disobedience to God's will and commands? So it's a form of pride, as it were, any kind of sin. Remember that it was the sin of pride that changed the great angel of light, Lucifer, into the horrible devil he became, Satan, and forever lost his place in heaven, all because of his prideful disobedience to God's will. Non serviam, I will not serve, was his prideful motto that led him into hell forever. And remember, too, that it was the sin of pride that changed the perfect bliss our first parents enjoyed in the Garden of Eden into the bitter sufferings and miseries that would thereafter plague this fallen world of ours, making it a real valley of tears. Thank you, Adam and Eve. And all that because they fell into the temptation from the devil, to be like gods, to be, as it were, usurpers, or even equals, as it were, to God. Paradise was lost, all because of pride. But thankfully, humility paves the road back to paradise. At this point, we might ask ourselves, you know, what really is humility? How to define it best? We can go to the popular, short, and accurate definition given us by St. Teresa of Avila, who said, humility is truth. Humility is truth. Now, what did she mean by that? Basically, humility is that virtue that enables us to recognize and live according to the truth, particularly the truth about ourselves and the truth about God. For example, humility helps us to recognize the truth about ourselves as being lowly creatures made by an all-powerful and great God, upon whom we depend completely, totally, in every moment for our existence and continuation and being. These very moments, right now, we depend upon God to continue in existence. And to whom, you know, this God, he will be our judge on the last day, and to whom we will render an account of how we spent our lives that he's given us here on earth. Humility enables us to recognize this, that God will be our judge. Furthermore, humility enables us to recognize the truth of our sinfulness and our imperfection. All of us are poor sinners, none of us accepted, and that God alone is all holy and infinitely perfect in every way. And because we can't save ourselves from our condition of sinfulness, humility enables us to recognize the truth of our need for a Savior, Redeemer, Messiah, and to humbly accept the fact that that Savior, Redeemer, Messiah has already come in the person of Jesus Christ, to humbly believe in him, accept him, and to follow him. So humility is truth in this way, and our Lord assures us the truth will make us free. He made us for that freedom. And now at this point, you might be thinking, this humility you're speaking about is so wonderful. I wish I could have it. I wish I could have more of it. You know, to really be humble. It's in your hearts. You're thinking this, I'm sure. You know, and the Lord is giving you this desire to, you know, to be humble. You know, and how beautiful it would be if we were such. And I would respond that, well, there's so many ways in which we could strive to grow in this wonderful virtue of humility. But one of the best ways, you know, which the Church recommends is to follow the example of St. Therese of Lisieux, St. Therese of the Child Jesus, and her little way of spiritual childhood. It's something that I personally like to bring up whenever I can, because St. Therese is a wonderful saint for all times, and we ought not to forget her wonderful teachings she's given to us. After all, she is a great doctor of the Church. And that teaching of hers of the little way, you know, really revolves around humility, you know, living out this virtue. And particularly, it is focused on that stupendous truth of the gospel, you know, recognizing and living out the truth that God is our Father and we are his children, little children, humble children. St. John the Evangelist put it this way, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." I think it was St. John Paul II who said that, I guess in relation to St. Therese and this teaching, that this really does summarize the gospel message, you know, that God is our Father and we are his children. It's beautiful, simple, you know, profound truth. You know, St. Therese, she teaches us, in order to reach great holiness, it is enough to recognize one's nothingness, she says, and to abandon oneself like a child into God's arms. I rejoice to be little, because only children and those who are like them, the humble, will be admitted to the heavenly banquet. And she's referring to Jesus' words, of course, in the Gospels from Matthew chapter 11, when he says to all of us solemnly, "Amen, I say to you, unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We will be like little children to the extent that we are humble, and only then shall we be able to enter into the narrow door, that low door that leads into the kingdom of heaven. So to become more familiar with St. Therese's teaching on the little way of spiritual childhood is a recommendation I have for all of you. And the church certainly would back that up. You know, she has not lost none of her relevance to our days. You know, this year, 2017, marks the 20th anniversary of St. Therese being named Doctor of the Church. You know, and when she was canonized in 1925, the then Pope Pius XI stated this in his homily: "The Spirit of Truth opened and made known to her what he usually hides from the wise and prudent and reveals to little ones. Thus she enjoyed such knowledge of the things above that she shows everyone else the sure way of salvation." Saint Therese shows us the sure way of salvation. These words still ring true today. Pride continues to lead many souls astray. You know, Our Lady at Fatima told Saint Jacinta that more souls go to hell because of sins of impurity, sins of the flesh, than for any other sin. This is true. But at the same time, there will never be a more horrible and despicable sin than the sins of pride. You know, those that are specifically and explicitly, you know, sins of, you know, pridefulness, of refusing to do God's will, and acknowledging Him alone as Lord and Savior. You know, too many people today are still infected by that pridefulness, and all of us are, you know, to some degree. And it's a lifelong process to be rid of that. Some say that we won't be rid of it entirely until we're 6 feet under, you know. So we have to fight to the very end against our own pridefulness, you know. And so we should fight it tooth and nail, as it were, a relentless battle. And to be humble, strive to cultivate humility. It's the only way, the only sure way that we can get into heaven. So we pray that we be followers of Saint Therese, who was a most faithful follower of our Lord's and the teaching of his gospel on humility, and Our Lady as well, who was the most perfect example we have of living out this virtue of humility. You know, in her Magnificat, she sung out, cried out to the Lord, praising him, that blessing him because he looked upon his lowly, humble handmaid. You know, it's a real cry of joy on the part of the most humble of God's creatures, and an encouragement for all of us to be like her, to be humble and receive God's graces in torrents and great abundance. So to follow our Lord Jesus, Our Lady, Saint Therese, all the saints, you know, in this way of humility, the way of spiritual childhood, and to give great glory to God and to help save as many souls as we can from eternal perdition, to direct them on the right path, the only path, you know, to heaven. Again, the door to heaven is open to all of us, but only the humble, only the little can enter. Let us pray often the beautiful prayer for humility. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. Praise be Jesus and Mary. Now and forever.